The crew all season long on WTMJ. It's Brewers Extra Innings. Now, live from American Family Field, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
All right, keep it all on ice. Hopefully just one more night. The Brewers fall today. They will drop the season series to the Phillies officially. They fall 5-1, their fourth loss in five games against the Phillies this year. So that conversation can be put to bed. But let's go scoreboard watching here at the top of the program. The Cubs lose tonight to the Oakland A's, meaning the magic number is officially one. That means with a Cubs loss tomorrow, by the way, they play a day game at 120, or a Brewers win. Now we're in the or scenario, not the and scenario. Let's say the Cubs win tomorrow afternoon. The only way the Brewers will pop bottles tomorrow is with a victory. But if the Cubs lose tomorrow afternoon, yes, of course you want to win the game that night, but they will be celebrating regardless given they will have clinched the Central with a Cubs loss. So we could know exactly what the Brewers need before tomorrow's game, even batting practice wraps up here as the Brewers get ready for the finale with the Phillies tomorrow night at 6:40. Jerry Augustine, I welcome you in here. I don't want to, you know, get ahead of myself and say, what could that feel like if you know you've lost the game or if you know you've won the game? And we'll talk about tonight's game in a moment. But nonetheless, the magic number is one. I think I speak for everybody in saying get it over with as soon as possible just to get that monkey off your back.
I agree. I think, you know, no matter what happens with the Cubs playing in the afternoon, whether they lose or the Brewers go out and win tomorrow night, it's just, let's get the one. One is a lonely number. Let's get rid of it. But, you know, it's going to be interesting. If the Cubs do lose tomorrow afternoon, you still have to go out and play baseball, and you have to play good baseball. Got the opportunity. It's not over yet. You have a chance to move into one of the top two spots. It's going to be a little difficult, but you have that opportunity. So tomorrow night's a big game. It's a big game, and it's also what you want to maintain is you want to maintain winning series at home, and that's big for this ball club.
And another thing that's going to get spicy with the scoreboard watching here, the Dodgers also lost tonight, further distancing themselves from the one seed. So the Dodgers are now two games back of the Phillies, but really three games because they don't hold the tiebreaker on Philadelphia. The Phillies do. So the Brewers remain two games back of the Dodgers, essentially three, because again, the lack of a tiebreaker. But right now in the wild card race, things are, quite frankly, wild as the Mets win again today and the Braves lose again today. The Braves are now two games outside of a playoff spot. The Mets are currently holding the last spot, but hold your horses because the Diamondbacks are losing 6-1 right now against the Colorado Rockies. And with a loss there, they would fall into a tie in record with the Mets. And in case you're wondering who won the season series between the Mets and the Diamondbacks, it would be the Mets. Meaning, if the season ended with those two teams tied in record for the 2 and the 3 wild card, that means it would be a rematch. The Diamondbacks would be here as the 3 seed once again as the wild card. And this is going to change literally daily, Augie, so I don't want to freak people out. But, man, I don't know if the Brewers want the Diamondbacks again. Granted, they won the series over the weekend in Arizona, but they're going to see him for 4 more here at American Family Field. That's suddenly on the table here for the crew, too.
Well, the schedule is just comes down to the last 13 games or whatever you have to play. It's unbelievable. When you look at the Diamondbacks, and the Rockies are doing a nice job against them up winning tonight, but the Diamondbacks have 4 against the Brewers and 3 against the Padres, both playoff-type teams. The Braves just have 3 against the Mets and 3 against the Royals to finish the last 2 series of the season, which is 6 games. But then you look at the Mets. After the Mets play the Nats, they play the Phillies for 4, they play the Braves for 3, and the Brewers to finish the season for 3. So you talk about a toughest schedule of all. The Mets really have a tough schedule, but they're playing such good baseball. That's 10 games out of the final games that they're going to be playing teams that are in the playoffs. So this is going to get really interesting. There's a lot of baseball, especially when you talk about the standings in the standings for the wild card in the National League.
This is going to come down to the wire. We know that, and the Brewers are going to have a direct say in who they play coming up in what's likely going to be a wild card series. You never know. The Dodgers could fall apart. The Brewers could get insanely hot here down the stretch because you blink and you've got 11 games to go. Now let's start shifting gears to tonight's game. And I think the overarching headline from this one, Augie, and what I'm not going to overanalyze or overfreak out about is Zach Wheeler is a really freaking good pitcher. And the dude went 7 strong, only allowed 1 run. He's now on a quality start streak of 9 straight starts of a quality start. He was runner-up for Cy Young in 21 to Corbin Burns. Some folks think he's going to be runner-up to Cy Young this year to Chris Sale. I'm not ready to blow that horn that Chris Sale is definitely the Cy Young. Zach Wheeler deserves some serious consideration for it. This dude is a bona fide capital letter ace.
Yeah, you know, we watched him pitch in the first 3 innings. He was coasting a little bit. He was just making his pitches and doing well. And then when Mitchell hit that double and the Brewers were able to score that run, and it was interesting how all of a sudden he kicked it into another gear. That's what you see out of some of the great pitchers that go out. Not only are they efficient on the mound, commanding the strike zone with all their pitches and being able to expand the strike zone, which we talk about so much, but the ability to get at the hitters and make pitches and pitch to contact when they need to and stay in the game long. You look at what he did tonight, 7 innings, just 4 hits, 1 run. Again, no walks, 6 strikeouts. That is a resume for a Cy Young style game, and he had that against the Brewers.
Furthermore, it was all the fastball, too. Of the 16 swings and misses he got, 13 of them were on the four-seamer, which matched the season high, and 1 was on a sinker. All right, it wasn't like he was throwing breaking balls and throwing nasty curveballs. Like, it's just like, hey, here's 96 and hit it. Granted, it's a very different 96. He's 6'6". He's got elite extension getting down the mound. And oh, by the way, he's got elite spin, so the ball carries and has that ride we've been talking about for a while. I mean, this is a guy that, man, I don't know how. When I watch Zach Wheeler from like ground level, if you have like that low level camera, when I watch him pitch, I'm like, how does anybody ever hit? He's that guy for me. Does he remind you of anybody, Augie, of just sort of like, here's my fastball, you try to hit it, I know you can't?
Well, you know, the guys that really throw the ball very well have the ability to do one thing, is make a pitch and make the next pitch a better pitch. And I think, you know, you talk so much, Dom, about him and his fastball. Tonight he was able to throw the fastball to his zone and then throw another fastball and make that even a better pitch, maybe expand it a little bit or get it up in the zone a little bit. You talk about guys who pitch with their fastballs. You know, you can't put them in a type of a group with like a Nolan Ryan, because Nolan Ryan just went right after. He had a great breaking ball. But Wheeler's this type of guy that commands the strike zone so well. He's efficient. You look at what he did. You go 7 innings in today's game and pitch the way he did with the number of pitches right around 100. That's efficiency, and he does that each and every time, like you just said. 9 straight quality starts. When you pitch 9 continuous quality starts in a row, that's pretty efficient, and he does that each and every time he goes out.
He's going to end up throwing more innings than Chris Sale. He's going to have about 0.3 of a run worse in ERA. ERA plus favors, now we're getting to the advanced stuff, favors Sale. Sale has more strikeouts. And I know folks think strikeouts are the end-all, be-all. Well, I mean, Wheeler's still over 200 now as well at 205. Sale's at 219. Walk rates are nearly identical. I just see these two aces in their mid-30s, mind you, who have gone through surgeries, who have continued playing well in the second acts of their career. And the Brewers ran into one heck of a buzzsaw today. Remember, they only scored 1 run off of him last time in Philly, and that was a Rhys Hoskins solo homer. And Rhys got a couple of knocks off of him today. So when I look at it for the crew, we only had 1 knock, and I beg your pardon, that was off Matt Strom, not even off of Wheeler tonight. Sometimes you tip your cap, and I've said this over and over, when Brewers fans know what good pitching looks like, that was good pitching, and I'll go to sleep at night just fine tonight.
You know, you look at Zach Wheeler, and Dom, I think he reminds me a lot of the year that Max Scherzer had, the last year he was with the Nationals, I believe. He was dominant. He pitched with his fastball, he had his good breaking ball, but he was the type of guy that could locate his pitches – expand the strike zone. And I was trying to think of a guy who was a little bit closer. But I thought the way he throws the ball, the way Wheeler's throwing the ball this year, has a lot like Matt Scherzer was. I can't give you the year, but I think it was his last year with the Nationals where he just had one of those special years.
Yeah, it would have been 19 when they won the World Series, or maybe it would have been 20, but 20 was weird. But yeah, 19, he had a 2.92. He was third in Cy Young. Every now and then I just go back and look at Max Scherzer's Baseball Reference and just lay my jaw on the floor. I mean, what is this, 3, 6, 7 straight years of top five in Cy Young voting, including 3 wins. Pretty elite stretch from that guy. Yeah, I feel the same way. When Wheeler's at the peak of his powers, it does feel like, you know, oh my goodness, I'm facing Max Scherzer. And what does that feel like? That feels like the game is over before you even start. So the Brewers fall tonight, but we're burying the lead as far as a guy that pitched very well and was almost toe-for-toe for him tonight. That's Frankie Montas. We'll talk about Frankie coming up in the next segment. Brewers fall 5-1 here to the Phillies. 855-616-1620 is the phone number. Once again, 855-616-1620. Right here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers fall 5-1 to the Phils. I'm Dom Catronio. Want to remind you that Brewers Extra Innings is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank. With a local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years. Offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities, all to help your business succeed. It's commercial banking value that only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, member FDIC. A couple of texts that I've rolled in here. Pitching again, 5 runs. What's with the offense? I guess Crew's trying to make sure they have to play in the wild card series. Look, they're probably going to be in that wild card series. That's the truth. And it's better than the alternative of being on the road in the wild card series. They're still going to win the division, and they're one win away from doing so, but crazier things have happened with 11 games to go to essentially be down 3 games with no head-to-heads with the Dodgers. You're going to need some help in that regard. That one from the 414, this one from Doug. Let's get this thing wrapped up tomorrow and ready for that mini-series, which better not be Atlanta. They're a bad matchup. I think there are a couple teams that could give the Brewers fits, especially the teams with lefties like Atlanta with Chris Sale. And Ronaldo Lopez is on the IL, but Schwellenbach has been fantastic. They've got Freed to choose from, too. I look at the Diamondbacks. They don't have, you know, lefties per se, and they just beat up on Brandon Pfaadt. I don't think he would be in a wild card rotation, but Gallen has pitched well against the Brewers. I imagine they would see Erod again, and Merrill Kelly has pitched well against the Brewers as well. That would be their rotation. The Mets could start 3 consecutive lefties if they wanted to. They could start Sean Manaea, they could start Jose Quintana, and they could start David Peterson. So that's something to keep in mind. And then I don't think San Diego's going to fall all the way down from the 1 seed down to the 3. But even yet, I definitely do not want to face San Diego with Dylan Cease and Yu Darvish back and Joe Musgrove and that bullpen that they got. So, I mean, look, let's also make something clear here, Augie. When you're in the postseason and when you're heading to the postseason, there's no more fake teams. Everyone's good. So buckle up, find out what you're made of, and stop begging for scraps, because everyone you're going to face the rest of the year is going to be good.
Yeah, they're going to pick their best. There's no question. Each series, you're going to get everybody's best. And it's going to be interesting when you look at the teams, and, you know, you just went over the Padres, the D-backs, the Braves, and the Mets. They're all formidable teams. All of them have a lot of plus things that they do. A lot of them have good starting rotations that they can throw at you. Some can go left, some can go right. But they're in the playoffs for a reason, because they played very good during the season. And that's not taking anything away from the Braves guys and Dodgers on the Blues. When you get to the playoffs, things change a little bit. It's a different ball game, and it's something that the Brewers really have to be prepared for. And that's why I think maybe Murph is—he's not just going to take his foot off the pedal. He's going to kind of keep this team maintaining, going out each and every day, play each day hard to win, but yet give some guys rest when that needed. It's going to get really interesting. All these teams. When you look at the matchups, it would be great series.
I think it's going to be sort of, hey, especially in the National League, everybody in the National League has earned it, right? There's no fluky team in the National League that's going to make the postseason. Let's talk about Frankie Montas tonight. I thought he was better than the line indicates. We could talk a little bit about the decision of him facing a third time through the order. 5 2/3, 6 hits, 3 runs, all earned. He gets the loss, 2 walks, 10 strikeouts, second time as a Brewer he's got 10 strikeouts, and he gave up 2 home runs, the backbreaker of which being the 2-run homer he allowed to Bryce Harper in that 6th inning. What were your first overall takeaways from Frankie today, Augie?
I thought he threw the ball very well. You know, just what we talked about early when he first came over, everybody talked about him having the good fastball, the big fastball, locating it, and having a split finger, but I'll tell you what, that slider or the breaking ball that he throws, cutter, whatever you want to call it, has just really been a big pitch for him. I thought today he was as good as last time out. I thought he threw the ball very well, pitched ahead. He had got himself in positions where he had to make some good pitches, and he did that. You know, you go in a game against a good offensive team like the Phillies have, and you strike out 10 guys, I'm going to tell you what, you're locating the pitches, you're using all your pitches, and I really like the way he approached it. He reached back when he had to, but at the same time, he pitched the ball to sequences that I thought were excellent, expanding the strike zone, making one pitch better than another. Those are the things that you need to have out of a starting pitcher. And, you know, you look at a guy, we've talked about it, he could be one of the guys that you labeled that might start a series, no question about it.
And for Frankie, and for the pitching staff as a whole, the Brewers struck out 16 Phillies tonight, matching their season high. I mean, if you just looked at the box score minus the run column, you think, wow, the Brewers dominated this one, right? And you would think the run tally would be in the other column with the way that they pitched today and the way that they handled the Phillies. But this is modern baseball, right? 3 true outcomes. Strikeouts, homers, and walks. That's all we care about, baby. A solo homer from Castellanos in the 2nd and the 2-run homer from Bryce Harper in the 6th. That was all she wrote. And those are really the only bits of hard contact against Frankie today, too. And it goes back to what we've been observing of his evolution as a starter here with the Brewers, is that he's not afraid to go east and west, meaning work the corners of the plate, right? And he's really, really loving the sinker-cutter combination. A lot fewer four-seam fastballs today. And I really think it's a great mix for his repertoire, and especially to help set up his splitter.
Yeah, when he pitches the fastball on the inside part plate, maybe uses that splitter every once in a while, shows that he has it. I think just having that opportunity, when you talk about the splitter, it's not a strike pitch. It's a pitch that's outside the zone that you get people to look at. And when you have it, they recognize it and they know you have it. They have to pay attention to it. But I think he throws it and he uses it in great spots. I think he uses his slider in great spots or cutter in great spots. But, boy, he really locates his fastball very well, and he did that. He really did that tonight. You know, when you look at tonight's game, it really was the top 4 hitters of the Philadelphia Phillies. They went 7 for 18, and they scored 3 runs, drove in all 5 runs. So, you know, that's a part of the lineup that you really have to take care of. That's a part of the lineup that hurt Frankie tonight.
And furthermore, Frankie had 20 swings and misses today, and everything was working. It wasn't like one pitch dominating like we saw from Zach Wheeler. 7 on the 4-seam, 3 on the sinker, which is not a swing and miss pitch, 4 on the cutter, 2 on the slider, and 4 on the splitter. And again, like you just mentioned it, Augie, this is a guy that's on my short list that would start and traditionally start a postseason game. I might give him game 1, quite frankly, at this point.
You know, the one thing about Frankie, and
let's look at when he first came here and the way he was. He was that fastball guy, and he was working on his cutter and slider and making that a good pitch. He still had the split finger. Wasn't as successful as he wanted. But you see a guy coming in that's a veteran pitcher that has a lot of success in the major leagues, that's pitched in the postseason, that, you know, each time he's gone out, he's taken something from that time he's gone out, that game, and he's learned from it. Last game to this game, I thought today he was even better with his slider. He's better with that cutter, and making one pitch with it, then making another good pitch with that same pitch, and being able to expand the strike zone a little bit. This is a guy who's gone out and understands how to win, and how he has to go out, and he has to focus, and he has to execute. And I think he's executing better every game, and that's one of the reasons I think he could be a candidate to start a playoff series.
Frankie also, in the 6th inning, let's talk about this decision too and what played into it. Heading into the 6th inning, the game still tied 1-1. Entering that frame, he had 76 pitches, And he was sitting on 8 strikeouts, having retired 7 in a row. Also, mind you, the Phillies are a very good team a third time through. They've got some serious thump at the top of the order. And it all starts with Kyle Schwarber getting an infield hit on a check swing, excuse me, oh my, and just dropped it perfectly to start his good luck on the night. But then he got Trey Turner to strike out on a fastball, and he'd already got Harper twice to this point. I have seen some sentiment on social media of sort of revisionist history saying they should have pulled Frankie that third time through, but there was literally nothing to that point in the inning that suggested, A, Frankie was losing steam, and B, he's already got Harper twice. You're just hoping for a ground ball, of course, but at the same time, I know that the bullpen is thin and Frankie's delivering. I'm letting him ride, and this time it didn't work out.
Yeah, it's absolutely cool, but that happens. I mean, it was just, he made contact, and good things, they say, make contact and sometimes good things happen. Well, he made contact and good things happen. I thought he pitched Trey Turner. That sequence he did to Trey Turner, strike him out, that was huge. And the way he had pitched Harper prior to that was really good. He just made a mistake with a breaking ball out over the plate. Got it up a little bit, and Harper was able to go and get it and hit the ball the opposite way for a home run. So you look at the way what he did there from that time. I think you're exactly right, Dom. Everything that leads to that time going in, especially after facing Trey Turner, having the opportunity to get Harper the way he had pitched to him prior, you got to give him a chance to see what happens. You may make a decision different in the playoffs, but for right now tonight, I thought that was a good decision. Harper got the best of him because he hung a little bit. Got a breaking ball, probably in a spot that he didn't want to throw it.
And you led me to my point. In the playoffs, you're right, this could be different. And then you're not going to be playing the Phillies in the wild card round, obviously. But, in this scenario, all right, let's be armchair managers, if you will. If you're Pat Murphy, okay, you got to think you got lefty, righty, lefty. Oh, I got to bring in a lefty, right? Well, Schwarber has been torching lefties this year. He's hitting over 300 against left-handed pitchers. And then you have the lack of a platoon against Trey Turner, who also torches lefties. And then it's Bryce Harper, who's a generational talent, and it doesn't matter what side that you throw on. That's a really well-constructed lineup. So then, okay, well, then maybe I'll go to a righty, and maybe I'll go to, like, Yoel Piamps there, and we'll get to Yoel later. But this is the decision. It's like, well, if I don't know who I want out of the bullpen, and I've got a guy who's at 76 pitches in a regular season game, yeah, throw him back out there. In a postseason game, you become Kevin Cash, and you're like, oh, my gosh, you're taking him out after 5 innings? How could you do this? And this is why it's so hard to be a manager.
I tell you, you make a decision. You're exactly right. This time of the season, when you're during the season, you go out and you kind of test your players, or you try to give your players opportunity to be very successful. And I just think what Murph was doing there is that he pitched so well. I think when he might have gone out and got him for Harper, but the way he pitched against Trey Turner, that he executed those pitches so well, Turner didn't have a chance. And I think right there you said, you know what? The way he's throwing the ball, I'm going to give him a shot. I'm going to give him a shot, see what he does to Harper, because he pitched so well to him in prior so far earlier in the game, and he just made a mistake. And those things happen, and those decisions will change in the postseason. There's no question.
Yeah, I think they would change, but it just shows you how difficult these decisions go in, because in a playoff game, I think most people would say, take him out, and then let's say they give it up, and then you're like, oh my gosh, how could you take out a guy with only 76 pitches and he's got 8 strikeouts? So there's two edges to that sword. But Frankie, I thought, pitched fabulous. If you would have told me he was only to give up 3 runs working into the 6th inning against the Phillies, sign me up, take it, especially with 10 strikeouts for what he did tonight. Take a breather. Come back with more after this on 620 WTMJ.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Welcome back. Dom Catronio here. Brewers fall tonight 5-1. I'm Dom Catronio. Jerry Augustine here. Question here on the text line, Augie. Why is the bullpen thin? Who is down? Well, I imagine Trevor McGill was down, given he had pitched in 4 of 6 coming into this series. Want to make sure he's fresh. Joe Ross was definitely down. I imagine you were only going to get no more than what you got out of Aaron Ashby tonight, getting the amount of that you got out of him to Castellanos. Maybe he would have got Stott two there in the seventh inning, but an inning and a third from him was plenty. You didn't know what you got were going to get out of Yoel Piamps, given his forearm tightness as of late. Devin was obviously available, only with a lead. But then you also still didn't have Hobie going to be available. Paredes doesn't generally pitch in leverage, so you saw what happened to him in the ninth inning. And then, beyond that, I imagine they wanted to give Koenig another day, given how much he was used in the road trip. So this is this sort of transitional week of trying to get the bullpen back on track and getting the length they got out of Frankie was super important. But you can't just keep going with five-inning starts or 5 2/3 inning starts. They're good, but or even a six-man rotation impacts the way that your bullpen is available, because that's one less arm you would normally have available in your bullpen this time of year. With DL Hall making the short start on Sunday, you finally should be over it come tomorrow, but that's part of the reason why they needed the length out of Frankie tonight.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Dom. I think when you get to this time of year, and it's not only when you get to this time of year, it's in the position that the Brewers are in. They have the opportunity. They have opportunity to putting guys in and getting their work, but at the same time, making sure that the guys get proper rest. I think this is so important before you go into the playoffs that, they're not used 3 and 4 days in a row. They're not used 4 out of 6 days. They're given that little extra rest. And all the guys that you talked about, really, all the rest that guys you talked about, the rest that they're giving them is really what they should be doing at this time of the year. Get them fresh. Get them in a good frame of mind. Let them come into games and get their innings when they're supposed to get them. But, yes, they do need guys, the starters, to go a little deeper into games. It's going to be really important because their games that they have left are not against easy teams. They're against teams that are going to play hard. You're not going to go into Pittsburgh and Pittsburgh going to take it easy on you. They're going to play hard against you. So if you still get the guys, their appearances and their opportunities of getting games and have success, but at the same time, you got to make sure you rest your arms proper and that they're ready to go for the postseason.
And then I imagine Brian Hudson should be back up with this team by the end of the week. That will be some reinforcement. Getting Yoel Piamps what he did today, coming in, striking out the side after some worry about forearm irritation. No setbacks, according to Pat Murphy in today's postgame presser. I think we kind of forget how great Yoel Piamps has been as of late, given he's got a sub-1.5 ERA, I want to say, since like early July. One inning, 3 strikeouts, ho-hum for him. This dude has got some experience. I mean, 69 games a year ago with a 2.5 ERA. I know he got off to a slow start this year, but the guy we've seen since the middle of July has looked like the guy that we knew that the Brewers had last year. And I'm excited for what his role could be moving forward.
Well, we can see the way he's been throwing lately, how he threw tonight. He was just electric tonight. And you can see he's one of the guys you can go back in June when they were using him on a real consistent basis. He probably got overworked a little bit how he was throwing the ball. At times he had some struggle with his breaking ball. He had some problems getting the fastball to good locations, and he needed that break. Now they seem like they got him on a routine that they're getting him the right breaks, and he has just been fantastic, being able to command the strike zone, using his breaking ball. Those are the things you need out of your bullpen. You need these guys to come in and be able to shut the door and pitch each whenever they're called upon, to be ready to go out and get an out, get through the innings, and help you win ball games. And I'll tell you, Piamps tonight was just, he was really good. I know they talked about the forearm thing, but I think the little extra rest that they gave him really has paid off.
Since July 1st for Yoel Piamps, 25 1/3 innings, a 1.19 opponent's batting average, a 2.13 ERA, 25 innings, 28 strikeouts, only 8 walks. He's been unscored upon in those 29 games, on total of 24 times of those last 29, he has been unscored upon. He's kind of the closer to the starter. Like, he can be in any role, but I really like him as being the first guy out of the pen to sort of stabilize things and can give you an inning and can get a situational righty. I can get both sides out, quite frankly. Piamps is going to play one of those unsexy roles that doesn't fill the stat sheet, but when you look and you're like, oh boy, here comes Yoel Piamps, this could be the end of the inning.
Well, thank you so much. You have a couple closers in the bullpen. you have your closer, that guy that comes in and closes game, and that's Devin Williams. He's your man. He's the best in baseball. He's your guy. But you also have a closer for a starter. A guy comes in and kind of slams the door for a starter. Piams fits that, just like you said, Piams fits that role really well. It'll be interesting with Aaron Ashby, the way he's been throwing the ball. They're going to give him a little bit more work. I thought he threw the ball really well today. Made a couple mistakes in a couple areas. But when you look at the quality of stuff, the way it was, he threw that great fastball. What was he, 98 at times tonight, locating the ball really well, throwing that big curveball, throwing it for strikes, and then shortening up a little bit with the little slider that he has. I thought he threw the ball very well. You've got guys like that in the bullpen that can come in after that starter, slam the door, be that closer for the starter. That's huge in the game of baseball.
I agree with all that. Last guy I want to talk about with you, Augie, sort of under the radar of how hot he has been as of late, is Garrett Mitchell. And this goes back to the end of the Oakland series. So this is about a little less than a month. Let's call it 3.5 weeks or so for Garrett Mitchell. Over these last 19 games, and this includes tonight, over the last 19 games, he's hitting .315 with a .393 on base and an OPS that's over 1,000. He had the RBI triple that you talked about earlier tonight. Also, four doubles, four homers over this stretch. For Garrett, we've talked about it every time we talk about Garrett being on a hot streak. He is a streaky hitter. But when you see him on these streaks, you're reminded injuries have robbed him 3 years of his development. Tonight was only his 106th career game, and his OPS is still over 800 for his career over these 3 years. We're just scratching the surface of what Garrett Mitchell can do.
Yeah, he's changed a little bit. I think when we talk about Garrett Mitchell, his strength is gap to gap. When you see the way he's been swinging the bat lately, boy, right center, left center, that's where he swings the bat the best. And I thought that at bat in the fourth inning, what a great at bat! Getting the ball out away from him, goes out and hooks it in for the triple. They scored a run. He just had such a good at bat in that count, going up and getting that ball up and just taking the pitch. We're given the pitch and hitting it where it was pitched. I like him. I think when you look at him over the last several weeks, Dom, I think you got to say, wow, he's starting to make adjustments, being able to take what he's given, and he's really using the middle part of the field. And when you do that, that makes you slow down the game, makes you wait on pitches, and makes you take good pitches and walk when you get a walk, and also when you get a good pitch, you hit. Put a good swing and hit the ball real hard.
He was the only Brewer to have multiple hits tonight, including that clutch RBI triple, but the Brewers could not bring him home later in the game. Willie did not have a night to remember, 0-for-3 with 2 strikeouts. Bowers 0-for-3, no strikeouts, put the ball in play, but that was the moment of the game there in the fourth inning when the Brewers couldn't add on and take the lead. I thought was the moment of that. All right, Wheeler's going to hit the cruise control now, and he certainly did.
I thought after he made that pitch to Mitchell, which I thought Mitchell hit a good pitch. He got in a good spot and he hit a good pitch. It just seemed like right after that, Wheeler started dialing it in a little bit and executing a little bit better, and he pitched a great ball game. And there's no doubt anybody who goes out and has 9 quality starts a row is doing something right. And I'll tell you what, he really proved that tonight.
I agree. Jerry Augustine, appreciate you. Maybe we'll be popping bottles tomorrow night this time as the Brewers' magic number sits at 1. Appreciate you as always, my friend.
It's going to be fun tomorrow. We got a great pitching matchup with Nolan Peralta. What a great way to end the series. You still want to win a series, but hopefully 1 is that loneliest number, and it won't be there long.
I agree. Jerry Augustine here on WTMJ. Back with more after this on your home of the Brewers as they fall 5-1 on 620 WTMJ.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers Extra Innings brought to you by Cider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. And they offer 5% off all service all year round for seniors and veterans. You make sure you mention this offer when you're booking your appointment. You can go to cider.com for more information. That's SEIDER.com. Families helping families since 1912. Real quick lap down the box score here. I think the biggest number that jumps out to me about tonight's loss, as we just alluded to with the Brewers not being able to drive home Mitchell after the triple, the Brewers going 0 for 4 with runners in scoring position. You don't get many opportunities against Zach Wheeler, and to waste them early, right, they had the opportunity early in the contest in the second inning after Mitchell led off with a single and stole second. They couldn't get him home. And then in the fourth inning with that triple from Mitchell, left him on third. Opponents are only hitting 180 against Zach Wheeler when there are runners in scoring position. Very few get better when the going gets tough, and he's one of those that gets tougher as well. I was a little surprised by the Isaac Collins pinch hit there in the bottom of the eighth inning when the game was still 4-1. I think the thought was, hey, he can't be the tying run, so no need for Gary Sanchez here. I think the goal was get it to Churio by any means necessary, and then you have the platoon advantage again with Churio as they have a switch hitter Collins up. He ended up striking out against Matt Strom. And the Brewers tonight, another big number on this box score, 0 in the walk column. We know how patient this team is and how they are really good at working counts. Tonight, it backfired when you're facing an ace like Zach Wheeler. Also, let's take a quick peek at the out-of-town scoreboard, get you up to speed on what's going on over the American League. Have you all been seeing this, what the Detroit Tigers are doing? The Detroit Tigers are suddenly the hottest team in baseball. They're 79-73. They just won in extra innings over the Royals earlier tonight. And now the Tigers are a game and a half back of a playoff spot. They're chasing the Twins, who hold the tiebreaker over the Tigers, mind you. The Twins, who won tonight as well, they're doing everything they can to hang on to it. But hey, Minnesota sports, am I right? That's a joke. That's a joke. That's for your friends over there on the border. But anyway, Minnesota's hanging on by a game and a half. They're a game and a half back of Kansas City, who's in the two seed. And very quietly, Baltimore, are you guys okay? Baltimore is under 500 in the second half, and they got shut out by Blake Snell and the Giants tonight in Baltimore, 10-0. Baltimore is headed to the wild card round, it seems, at this point, as the Yankees also won again, winning tonight 7-1 over the Mariners, so that game will go final soon. And with that win, the Yankees will move to 4 games clear of the Orioles, and that could be just about wrapped up here in these final 11 games of the regular season. The other thing here in the National League, as we mentioned before, that the Diamondbacks are trailing. Well, that game has gone final. They lose to the Rockies. So if the playoffs started tomorrow, San Diego would still be the one seed, and they're locked up with the Astros right now in the seventh inning, 2-2. But San Diego would be the one seed in the wild card. Then it would be the Mets as the two seed, because they have, by virtue of tiebreaker, in the head-to-head series over the Diamondbacks this year, which means Arizona would be coming here for a 3-game series against the Crew. And mind you, it's going to be the same situation as last year, where they're probably going to need to play all of their guys down the stretch to make sure they get into the postseason, meaning they may need to pitch Zach Gallen on the last day of the season. They may need to pitch Merrill Kelly, use their closer, use all of their guys on the last day of the season, as the Brewers will await who is likely going to be facing them in the wild card round. I know I keep talking like the wild card round, but 3 games in 11 days is really, really tough to do with no head-to-head matchups. And in case you're wondering what the Dodgers have in store for them here down the stretch, L.A., they do have one more series looming with the Padres, and furthermore, if the Padres win this game against the Astros, they'll make up for yesterday's loss and still be in the hunt for the NL West. They'll be if the Padres win tonight, they'll be 2.5 games back of the Dodgers with the tiebreaker and with another head-to-head series. I mean, don't lose sight of the fact that they could lose ground here at the end of the season. The screen is loading up here for the Dodgers' schedule. But once they're done with Miami tomorrow, and or rather, they play a 3-game set. They were off yesterday. So they're with Miami tomorrow and on Thursday. Then they come home for Colorado, home for San Diego, and then to Colorado altitude to finish the season. Things can get wonky there, too. That 3 games in San Diego, man, highlight those. That could be wild if San Diego can surpass the Dodgers. And oh, by the way, what San Diego's final schedule looks like here down the stretch, they will finish with Houston here on tomorrow. That's a three-game series that started last night. Then they host the White Sox. There's three wins right there. Then they face the Dodgers. Then they face the Diamondbacks. So not only could the Padres take the NL West, they could knock the Diamondbacks out of the postseason. This is going, and the Brewers are going to try to have their hand on that too in this four-game set this weekend too. So there is a lot that is going to be decided in the final week. We're almost there, 11 games to go, and the magic number sits at 1. A shorter clip of Pat Murphy coming up next. Seems like there are some technical difficulties from our recording from our friends at Bally Sports Wisconsin. Hear from Murph, get some more reaction as well. Highlights a little bit later here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. Is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
As I sit here and try to make sense of, well, hey, who do the Brewers want to face? Welcome back. I'm Dom Catronio. I just sit here and I keep finding reasons that I wouldn't want to face a team, right? And like I said earlier with Augie, everyone you face here down the stretch is going to be pretty darn good once you make it to October, okay? And especially here in the National League, quite frankly, with all due respect to our friends in the American League, This ain't the year to be proud of the American League. They're very top-heavy, and they've got the worst team in baseball history in their league, too, with the Chicago White Sox kind of inflating some of those win-loss records in the American League Central. And even the AL West has been extremely underwhelming with what the Mariners have fallen into, and Dan Wilson, Dan Wilson's going to be the savior as the manager. Shocking. The roster has not been working out for the Mariners this season. But hey, fire the manager, because that seems to always works for a team, right? Well, it worked for the Phillies a couple of years ago, to be fair. That's how Rob Thompson is in the seat that he is in now. But that came with a lot of coaching experience as a bench coach and where he's got to. But just sort of rambling here about who do you want to face? You know, that's the number one question I get on Twitter, the number one question I get in the text line throughout the days. And quite frankly, I want to face the team that has to use up all their resources, that has to beg and plead to get into the postseason on the very last day. And you may be thinking, Dom, that sounds like a desperate team. That sounds like a team that has nothing to lose and is going to be dangerous in the wild card round. You're probably right, but by the use of the resources and use of everything, it's just a little bit more tax on the arm and more eyes for the Brewers scouting department to figure out a game plan against them and see what they want to do against those teams. Quite frankly, I can see a scenario where the Brewers push the Diamondbacks to the brink this weekend. Let's say the Brewers win tomorrow, clinch the Central, right? Party, party, woo, woo, yeah, yeah. Then they win 3 out of 4 against the Diamondbacks. And assuming the Brewers are going to be in a wild card series. Let's say they win 3 out of 4 against the Diamondbacks. All of a sudden, Arizona and Atlanta are going to be in a dogfight for who is going to be in that last wild card spot. And in case you're wondering about the Braves and what their final schedule looks like down the stretch, remember, in that final week, they also get that one last series with the New York Mets. But they will finish with the Reds on Thursday this week for a three-game series. They've got 3 in Miami, home for 3 with the Mets, home for 3 with the Royals. That's not an easy final week for Atlanta as they'll try to figure things out down the stretch and see if they can be considered for a wild card spot. So I know we fear about the Braves starters, but then you look at the offense and all the guys they're missing. I mean, Albies is only going to be able to swing right-handed. You've got no Austin Riley. Matt Olson has not been himself. Sean Murphy has not been himself. Michael Harris is back, but he's been okay. No Acuna. They're a team that, quite frankly, offensively, they leave much to be desired. And oh, by the way, the Brewers just swept them about a month ago. So maybe it's the Braves. Maybe it is, even though we've talked about Fried and Sale and what they're capable of doing. And who knows, man? It's going to change daily. Let's make that clear. It is going to change daily is what we think about who's going to be the team that the Brewers face. Who do we want to face? Oh, what's this happen? There could be something that changes between now and then that impacts player availability or somebody pitching better or that sort of thing as the Brewers are likely bound for the wild card series. Never say never. They're 2 games in record, 3 games after tiebreaker back of the Dodgers, maybe the Padres, for the 2 seed in the National League. How about some brief comments from Pat Murphy? Here's what he had to say to the media earlier this evening.
Those two working together is tough to beat. I've seen Wheeler have way better stuff, but he's just really good. He's confident. He knows what to do, how to keep the ball in the middle. He's as good as there is, even without his great stuff. You know, he is good. And then working with the guy he's working with who knows him well makes him. That's why these guys are the best record in baseball. We had our chances to, you know, score another run and do something, but yeah. And they got a couple things go their way, and you can't give that team any leash. And then they got two of the best power hitters in the game for sure, and a couple other guys that are, you know, top hitters in the game. So yeah, they can't give them anything. You got to keep the pressure on them. We couldn't do that. They didn't walk a batter.
Your guy though, Montas
was good. He was good. He liked that one pitch back to Harper. You know, he got kind of a scratch hit before that, but he liked that one pitch back to Harper. And but yeah, that's a great hitter, man. It's one of the game's great hitters. So they take advantage of mistakes. So it was tough. We had some good performances. You know, Garrett Mitchell was good for us today, and that's encouraging. You know, he's been only on the scene a couple months, and after 2 years of, you know, playing very short and having his seasons cut short, it's pretty cool to see him excel.
Exactly what we were talking about with Garrett Mitchell earlier tonight with his strong play this evening. Not a full highlight segment coming up next, but there were some bright spots. We're going to highlight those. Brewers fall 5-1 to the Phillies here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers fall 5-1, but we're going to highlight a couple of positive moments from today's game. Maybe some silver linings, if you will. The first thing is the Brewers did something to Trey Turner that he's not really used to. He got thrown out again.
Castellanos 1-for-1. There goes Turner. Swing and a miss. Throw to second is in time. They got him. Wow. Bryce Terang applied the tag. A bullet of a throw from Contreras.
That was Lane Grindle on the call. That was the second consecutive day, too, that the Brewers have caught Trey Turner stealing. Mind you, he had a stretch last season where it was like, what, 35 consecutive successful stolen bases. And remember, he was caught yesterday, too, trying to leave early against Aaron Civale, holding him close. And I'm looking deep in his baseball reference box scores here as we're live on the air. The last time he was caught stealing in back-to-back attempts, you know, maybe over a couple of games or so, was back in June of 2021. He had not been caught in consecutive games, but he had not been caught in consecutive attempts to steal a bag. So William Contreras can add that feather in his cap. Then William had to get on his horse after a leadoff single in the fourth. Garrett Mitchell had really the lone highlight for the crew tonight.
1-2 pitch. Liner into right center field. That's going to get down. Roll all the way to the gap. Contreras on the move. He's around second. He's being waved around third. Mitchell on his way to third. Contreras scores, and Garrett Mitchell has tied this game with an RBI triple.
Great stuff from Garrett. Good to see him continuing to hit the ball hard off that great road trip that he had in San Francisco and in Arizona. Then finally, Aaron Ashby. And I tweeted this note, then of course it got quickly erased because never tweet. But he got three more strikeouts tonight. Lefties continue to have serious trouble with his slider. Furthermore, he threw 23 pitches tonight, did Aaron Ashby. 20 of them were strikes. I mean, this is a completely different guy than we saw in AAA with all the walks issues. Remember, last time he saw the Phillies, he started a game, a spot start, the finale in Philadelphia. He walked five guys. He went from walking five in June in a spot start to only throwing three balls here tonight. And he also got three strikeouts, one of which was clutch in the sixth inning.
The stretch. Ashby deals, swing and a miss. Struck him out.
That was good morning, good afternoon, and good night, courtesy of Ashby versus the lefty Brandon Marsh, with, of course, Bob Uecker on the call. But the Brewers couldn't muster up any more offense. In fact, after the RBI triple from Garrett Mitchell, they just managed an infield hit from Jackson Churio in the sixth and a clean single through the left side by Rhys Hoskins in the eighth, but he didn't move from first base as Perkins struck out, Ortiz popped out, and Collins struck out. Brewers fall. This series is level at a game apiece. Brewers will go for the series victory tomorrow with the magic number sitting at one. We'll preview tomorrow's game and get you ready to go for maybe some celebrations on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Tomorrow, the finale, same time, same place, 6:40 first pitch here on WTMJ. 6:05 will be the coverage with the on-deck show. The Brewers will send Freddy Peralta to the mound in what's going to be maybe his most important start to date for Freddy Peralta, the opening day starter, trying to keep the good times rolling. He's been pitching better as of late. Five innings in his last go-around against Diamondbacks, but he had four walks in that one. That ain't going to fly against the Phillies. He's had multiple walks in every start in the second half, all 11 of them. But yet, his ERA sits at 3.13 here in the second half. He has allowed 11 home runs in this stretch. So he is going to be opposite of Aaron Nola. And Nola on the season, 180 innings, 174 strikeouts, bona fide star, a 3.62 ERA, but lately leaking a little bit of oil. He's allowed a total of 12 earned runs over his last 15 innings, opponents hitting nearly 300 against him. That's an ERA of 7.20 as well. He's a guy that relies heavily on his curveball. And not only are, you know, teams hitting the ball in play, they're still swinging at it. I mean, they're still swinging and missing. The curveball is the pitch he throws more than any other offering for Aaron Nola. He still has a 50% whiff rate in three starts this month on that curve. But yet opponents are still hitting 350 on it. So it's like, okay, three homers on the pitch, eight hits total. So something's got to give. It's either it's feast or famine for him. Eight strikeouts and eight hits on the curveball this month alone. The cutter's been okay. He doesn't throw it very often. He does have two distinct fastballs, a four-seamer and a sinker. And even the sinker has been getting hit hard as well, not getting nearly as many ground balls as he normally does on that pitch. So Aaron Nola gets the ball for the Crew, or excuse me, for the Phillies tomorrow. Freddy Peralta gets it for the Brewers. And I imagine we'll see Devin Williams tomorrow. A couple folks did point out the fact that, hey, you could have pitched Devin Williams on Sunday. He didn't even get into these last two games. Yep, you're absolutely right. And that's something we talked about on Sunday. Hey, you don't know what the next two games are going to hold. Maybe you win a blowout and you lose a blowout and you never get him into the game. So it is what it is. Sunday's in the past. No need to dwell on it. But I imagine Devin and the rest of the bullpen should be in really good shape tomorrow. Devin will be available. McGill should be available. Koenig should be available. Joe Ross should be available for an inning as well. I imagine a move is looming with Brian Hudson to return. Nick Mears also threw off of a mound today. That's innings. I know some folks are on the fence about him having leverage, but you need innings in these final 11 days to figure out who you want to bring with you to battle into October. Another quick note for the rest of the weekend. Thursday's game is an odd start time against the Diamondbacks at 6:15. So keep that in mind. Thursday's at 6:15, not 6:40. Then Friday is at 7:10. Saturday's at 6:10. And Sunday is at 1:10. So keep all of that in mind for your itinerary. Then the Brewers go on their last little mini road trip. A quick skip over to Pittsburgh. Three games there with the Pirates. And then come back home for the New York Mets to wrap up the regular season. And if tomorrow is the clinch day, as we'll have all eyes on Wrigley Field as the Cubs host the Oakland Athletics, that game begins at 1:20 Central Time. It's the first game of the day. It'll be Brady Basso against Justin Steele, a pair of southpaws on the north side. If the Cubs lose, the Brewers win the Central. If the Cubs win, the Brewers have to win to pop bottles here tomorrow night. My thanks to our producer, Max Meyerson. I'm Dom Cotronio. Until next time, keep on swinging.